Let's assume that the patient is concerned about his breathing at night, or most commonly the bedmate reports loud snoring, is bothered by loud snoring, and both become concerned. They go to their primary care physician, who most likely will refer the patient to the sleep specialist. What happens then is that the specialist examines the patient and at that point determines whether the patient needs a sleep study, an overnight sleep study in the sleep center, similar to the one that we here at University Hospital manage with 12 beds. The patient goes to the sleep center, stays overnight, a variety of parameters are identified, and that is later on interpreted by the sleep specialist, who will make a diagnosis of sleep apnea based on the data that have been recorded during the night. If the patient has sleep apnea, most likely that patient will receive a recommendation to use a CPAP machine, which is a mask that goes over the nose, the mouth, that delivers air at a certain pressure. That needs to be tested in the sleep center before the physician can issue the prescription for the CPAP. And of course, that individual is later on followed very closely by the sleep specialist or by the primary care physician for adjustments in the pressure if needed. And these adjustments may come with increased in weight, decrease in weight, age, and so on.
Is that something that if you do get that, you have that for the rest of your life, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. If a person is obese, and the person is either motivated to lose significant amounts of body weight or receives bariatric surgery where the patient may lose 50, 75, 100 pounds of body weight, that sleep apnea may disappear. Or, for instance, children may have sleep apnea because their tonsils are very large and the tonsils obstruct the flow of air. If those tonsils are removed, sleep apnea is cured. So
occur in the throat or nose, or
it occurs in the throat immediately behind the tongue, and that's why one of the things that I examine always is the mouth, and I try to see if the pharynx behind the tongue, we call it the oropharynx, is small, and it's a very simple examination, and by doing so I can tell whether the patient has significant problems breathing at night or not.
What about the thing that affects older men? I don't know if it affects older women or not, but just that they get up and pee a lot at night.
Yes.
I hear that from people my age approaching 60, and that you just get up more often, and
yes,
needless to say, it affects your 6 or 8 hours of sleep.
I always ask my patients whether they have to urinate at night. If they tell me that they have to get up more than twice to urinate, I immediately go and look at their ankles and see if there is any swelling, because the ankles are the reservoir of water during the day. And as soon as the patient gets recumbent, that water is reabsorbed, goes into the system, and the kidneys eliminated. So more than two episodes of urination at night immediately raises the suspicion of swelling of the ankles or swelling elsewhere in the body. Of course, there are men may have problems with their prostate. People with neurological problems may have retention of urine. But the most common cause of frequent urination at night is swelling of the ankles.
Over all of this stuff, what if somebody just said, I'm just going to take an over-the-counter sleep aid, you know, whether it's Advil PM kind of stuff or the Somanex that's just a sleep aid, or there's a NyQuil product that's a Z-Quil or what, those kinds of things. Worth trying, or as an expert, would you say you should really get it diagnosed?
I would say as a physician that it should be diagnosed. For an occasional problem with sleep, a little patch like any of the medications you have mentioned is okay. But if the problem is persistent and affects the quality of daytime alertness and vigilance and driving and working and so on, the patient should go to the physician.